Good morning.
Very conscious. I'm like sixth on the bill or something this morning. So I'll try and keep it under an hour for you. Can't promise that. Let's pray. Shall we do that? Lord, we welcome you here, Jesus. We love you and thank you for all those testimonies. You're a wonderful God, and you meet us in our weakness, and you give us hope, and you encourage us. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just welcome you here this morning, and have your way with us, Lord. We just surrender our hearts and our minds and our bodies to you, and say, have your way. And Lord, I pray you'd anoint this message. I pray that you would make sense out of my confusion, and that we would just understand more of you this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be talking from Luke 7, but before I go there, I don't know if I've shared this before, but when I read the Gospels, I love things that kind of stand out, little odd things, but it's very easy to skip over. And there's a verse here that, I don't know if I've shared it before, but I like it because it's odd. And this one, you don't have to turn to it, but it's in Mark 2, verse 1. And it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. And that's a prelude to a lot of other stuff. But I just love the fact that the people of Capernaum knew that that was Jesus' home, that he had come home. Jesus had come home. He wasn't just visiting. He'd come home. And I love that. I love that they owned that. They knew, people of Capernaum knew that he belonged there. When our boys come home, the boys have been out, moved away for years, but when they come round, they've come home. This is like, you know, it's their family home. It's where they grew up. It's home. And when Dan lived with us for a couple of years, when she would come back from her travels, you know, we'd say, welcome home. It's her home. She made it our house. She made it her home for a while. And the fact that he was known as Jesus of Nazareth didn't seem to bother them. But he was, you know, they knew where he belonged. He belonged in Capernaum. It was one of my favorite places on earth. It's a beautiful, just set on the north shore of Galilee. And as you look south down the sea, you can see of Galilee, it just sort of shimmers in the sunlight, and you've got these rolling grassy hills all around. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful place. But he was never referred to as Jesus of Capernaum. But they welcomed him as, you know, as one of their own. They knew he belonged there. If we look at Luke 7, I don't really know why, I just felt I wanted to share that, because I think it kind of loosely links in. Luke 7, verse 18. Help if I turn there. John was in prison for doing what he was told to do, for being obedient. And he sends two of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? So John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, and there are lots of theories as to why he asked that particular question. He said, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus' response in verse 22 says, he says, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. And that's actually, when I was reading this the other day, just in a sort of devotional time, and it kind of struck me that, and I've even put it on a post-it up on the wall in front of my desk. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. The blind receive sight, their immediate need is met. You know, they were blind, they can see. Great, immediate need met. The lame walk, they couldn't walk. They encountered Jesus, and they can walk. And those who have leprosy were cured. And the deaf hear, their immediate need met. And the dead are raised, their immediate need met. It's fantastic. And the poor, they get a preacher. I mean, it just sounds worse, doesn't it? Can't imagine anything worse for someone who has an immediate need and have to listen to me for a morning. I mean, it's terrible. But there's stuff, those things about the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lepers walking, and actually, and for this morning, for the point of this talk, can we ignore the leper? Because when you get a bit of scripture, it can feel a bit anachronistic, because not many of us in the UK come across lepers from day to day. And so, you know, it's a bit of an anachronistic thing. It's like it doesn't really mean anything to me, so I can probably discount the whole passage. You know, I don't really have to cleanse lepers. So this morning, let's change the word leper for cancer. Cure those with cancer. All right? Because we encounter those every day. And let's make it a bit more personal, let's make it a bit more real. So they have an immediate need. And Jesus, when we meet with Jesus, we can expect miracles. Now, a few years ago, we had a friend who came to this church, and she was under a death sentence from stage 4 cancer that had spread throughout her body, and it was, doctors indicated it was terminal. The scan showed it to be terminal. And one weekend, we were having an evening service, and we prayed with her, and we weren't the only ones. I wanted to claim healing here. There's no point, it's not us, it's God. Only God can do this. She stood there that weekend and she was healed. It had gone, completely gone. And is alive and well today. So where Jesus meets us, stuff can happen that only God can bring about. We hear little testimonies, Sonia's testimony this morning. I love it, I love that. See, this is the good news is there's hope. When you're poor and you're crushed and you're downtrodden and you're living without, and let's keep it topical, the petrol and diesel shortage is kind of where some of us are living without that. And it's we don't like being without. We don't like having that limitation, that restriction put on us. But there are plenty of people in the world who live with that all the time. And it's just welcome it as a taster of what it's like to be without, to be impoverished. We don't have what we want. We don't have what we need. It's just a taster. But the good news for the poor, and you know, Jesus brought the good news preached the good news to the poor, is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is always at hand. God is near. And he loves us. Amen. So Jesus gives that job description to John's disciples. So go back and tell John, this is what you've seen, this is what you've heard. Verse 23 is an interesting one. He said, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. I mean, who could fall away on account of Jesus? You know, if he's you know, giving sight to the blind, making the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf can hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Who could fall away on account of that? Who would take offense at that? Who could? Well, if you go back a couple of chapters, his whole town did, his hometown where he was brought up. This is what this was, Jesus HQ, Jesus of Nazareth. In Luke 4:18, He was handed the scroll of Isaiah, and he read that bit. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Something common there. That's what he was doing. That's what he told John's disciples to report back that he was doing. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Similar, not word for word, but a similar job description. Same this Jubilee mandate that Jesus took forward. Where they took offense was he illustrated it. He illustrated that passage. He illustrated his talk by referring to two Gentiles. So he refers to, in verse 26, he refers to Elijah, was not sent to any of the widows in Israel, but to a widow in Zarephath, a Gentile. And then he refers in verse 27, he says, Elisha the prophet didn't cleanse any of those that had leprosy in Israel, but he was sent to Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile. Again, that's what offended. That's what offended the people in Nazareth. That's why they drove him out. You know, when he was reading the scripture, they said, oh, what eloquent words. Oh, marvelous. You know, what a wonderful chap. And then he actually illustrated his talk with something quite offensive, because the Jews at that time, according to one commentator, said that the Jews considered the Gentiles to be only fit for fueling the fires of hell. Yeah, pretty strong view. But they could see no value in them. And yet, in their own scriptures, Elijah and Elisha, two of the great prophets, were sent to Gentiles, and that caused offense. And they drove them out. So they fell away on account of Jesus, you know, in that sense. So, you know, Jesus can offend. And we have to be careful that we don't exclude anyone from the gospel. That, I mean, Sheila was sharing this morning about a barrister friend, barrister friend of a different faith. And yet the gospel is fit for him as for any. We may exclude others thinking they're unworthy. They don't look like us. They don't smell like us. They don't go to the same places we go to. They don't talk like us. Maybe a lot rougher and ruder. And use bad words and things like that. And they need to sort that out. And once they've sorted that out, they'll be fit for church. Which is not. It's not the message. The good news is there's hope for all of us. So that was when he walked away from Nazareth and walked into Capernaum, and that was why the inhabitants of Capernaum welcomed him and knew that was where he belonged. Matthew 10. Jesus sends out the 12. Matthew 10 verse 7, as he sends them out, sends out his disciples, he says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, cancer. Yeah, should we give her that one? Heal those who have cancer. Drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure cancer, drive out demons. That was the job description he gave to them. That's the, you know, it's the same mandate. It's the same Luke 4 mandate. It's the same response, same job description that Jesus gave to say this is, he was the one who was to come. You know, it really is evidence. There's evidence, there's material evidence that the downtrodden, the outcast are given hope. The poor are given hope. The sick are healed. Those with cancer are healed. There's evidence, there's material evidence. I want us to be like those who lived in Capernaum, in that we know Jesus belongs here. This is his home. I want every time we come together, I want to say, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And with that comes the hope. With that, we can expect the miracles. We can expect the healings. We can expect Jesus to use each of us in bringing those about. I just love that. That opening verse is a bit, it's slightly odd that, you know, he'd come home. Jesus, come home. This is where he belongs. And I want that to be what we say. Yeah, we like to, religious talk about, you know, he comes and we sense his presence among us, he dwells among us. What he's saying is he's come home, that's where he belongs. Yeah, but I think he belongs here, in our midst. We welcome him. There has to be the evidence of, rather than, you know, pretense. Like, we can't pretend healings. If we start to pretend we're healed, or just hope that we're healed, I think we have to see that, as with our friend who was healed. Let's keep it real. Another friend who I'd known since primary school came here. She was dying of cancer, and she did die from cancer. She never got healed. I want to see more of this. I want to see more of this healing. So I see less of that. We talk a lot about a new season. God's starting something new. Whatever that might be, I don't know. I haven't a clue. I don't know. I wish I knew what God was up to. I don't, most of the time. Whatever this new season is, it has to have some of the hallmarks of this. Hope for the poor, dead being raised, sick being healed. Yeah? There has to be hallmarks. Whatever else. If it doesn't have that, it doesn't have that evidence of Jesus in our midst. It's just a fad. It's just a fashion. It's just something. Jesus was consistent. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. I wouldn't be giving a balanced talk if I didn't also refer to a rather awkward passage where Jesus later on is rather critical of Capernaum, and he cites Capernaum alongside Chorazin and Bethsaida, because it says it was certainly for Chorazin and Bethsaida it would be more tolerable for them on the day of judgment than it was because Sodom and Gomorrah had had the miracles performed in them that you've had performed in you, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. So there was also there comes with this an expectation of transformation, a repenting, a changing of the way we're thinking, a changing of the way we're behaving with each other and in the world and so on. It's not to, you know, it's just Jesus expects a transformation as well as us to bear the fruit that he expects from his disciples and his followers. We need his power. He expects our obedience. Amen. All right, I'll pray, then we can worship. Yeah? Jesus, thank you. Lord, thank you for your forbearance. Thank you that you put up with us and our nonsense for so long. But I know that's because you love us, and everything else we settle for is second best. And you want the best for us, and you are the best. So Lord, I pray you would just be honored in our midst. I pray that your name will be lifted high above our own, and that people will talk about you in this place and not about individuals in this place. That it is you that gets the honor, Jesus, and no one else. But I pray, Lord, that you would come. I pray that you would come home. I pray that you would visit this place in power. And I pray, Lord, that the sick will be healed here. I pray that cancer will be cured here. And I pray you will give hope to the hopeless and lift up the downtrodden and the crushed and the poor in this place.